Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers, it's this week's iTunes review. Amy W. Fitness says, Kim knows her stuff. Keeps it real on all levels. 5 stars. Awesome podcast series on relatable topics that women deal with. Kim's advice, along with her sense of humor, is what everyone needs to find their fit girl magic. Well, thank you so much, Amy W. Fitness. That warms my heart. If you haven't yet left your review, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast and hit rate. And then hopefully it's a 5-star hint and leave me a review. Thanks. All right, magic makers. You know, over the last several solo podcasts I've been doing, I've been talking a lot about this theory about maintenance and what does it take to get to maintenance? And a lot of the questions I've been getting behind the scenes is about, Kim, aren't you afraid that the scale is going to go up? What if the scale goes up? And you're 1,000% right. You know, the emotional side of me is like, oh my God, the scale is going to go up. How am I going to look? Am I going to look fat? Am I going to, you know, put on 4 million pounds? Like, that's the emotional side of me. And then I have the logical side of me who's like, okay, Kim, yeah, the scale's probably going to go up, probably 1 to 2 pounds. You're doing this in a strategic way. And you know what the weight that's going on is comprised of. So can you like tell that other side of your brain, that the emotional side of your brain, just to sit down, shut the bleep up so that we can really start to accomplish our goals. And, you know, I am giving up that my goal is around the corner. This is it's a 20-week project. And I'm going to say it's probably a year-long project because there's going to be several undulating periods of time here that I'm going to undergo. And so first, I just want to, you know, for those people who are like, oh my God, the scale, Kim, and like freak the fuck out, this is for you. Keep listening. So as we age, we naturally lose muscle. It's just part of our biology. And so we are losing probably 3 to 5% of our muscle mass every year, unless we do something about it, right? So if you're actively strength training, we're doing our best to stem that tide, right? To like, you know, bring it back so that we can at least be almost even with what, you know, just biology is doing. And so for most people, we think to ourselves, like when we start to see that like undeveloped muscle, muscle can't turn to fat. That's just not what it is. We start to say, oh my God, I have to lose weight, right? Because we're taking up more mass, right? And so like if you, the best example I've ever heard is that I want you to think about like a baseball, right? We have a baseball and then imagine like a beach ball. So let's just say we put the baseball on the scale and the baseball weighs like 10 pounds. If I put 10 pounds of sand, they both weigh the same. But if I look at the physical characteristics of the beach ball and the baseball, I want to look like a baseball, right? I want to have that nice, tight, muscular physique versus the fluffier beach ball physique. So that's what we're talking about. And so for some of us, when we start to see it look a little fluffy, it could just be that we need to focus more on our strength training. And over the course of this podcast, I'm going to break down what one, when you step on the scale, what actually happens? What is it measuring? Two, when your scale does go up from day to day, what exactly are some of the reasons why that scale goes up? And then finally, how can we start to be more strategic about our weight? So first, like as you step on the scale, one, it just measures our relationship to gravity, right? This is how much pull gravity has on your body, right? Because we have a way to measure. It's kind of like we need a way to measure
energy and food, we call it calories. So weight is the same thing. How much gravitational pull does the earth have on your body?
Hey, Magic Makers, I think we can talk about anything by now. Have you been struggling to lose weight, especially around the belly? You know, it just feels like the weight just settles there and it moves in and it just won't move out. You have brought this up to your doctor thinking that something is definitely wrong and they tell you you need to eat more, eat less and exercise more. And you're like, well, I've been doing that and nothing has worked. And then the worst is when your doctor pats you on the knee and just says, oh, honey, it's menopause. Eye roll. Seriously, ladies, it is not your fault. And it's not fair. There are so many myths and misconceptions out there about belly fat, and it is really hard to know what works and what actually doesn't work. Don't worry, I got you. Help is on the way. In this free masterclass I have upcoming called Cracking the Belly Fat Code, I will teach you everything you need to know what the heck is belly fat, and finally, how to get rid of this stubborn belly fat so that you no longer feel like you're stuck with it for life. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, do me a favor, grab a spot on the waitlist so when all the juicy details come out, you'll be the first person to know. Enjoy the episode.
So the scale weight is made up of about four things. One, water. You know, many of you know we are mostly made of water. And that's about 50 to 60% of your body's weight is that, pure water. Second, muscle mass, right? We all know muscle weighs more than fat. So if the more muscle I have in my body, the scale is going to actually go up. And, you know, back in my bodybuilding days, I've had several friends who are clinically obese because their numbers on that BMI scale just don't match up because they are heavy, but muscle heavy versus fat heavy. Body fat, 23 to 34% of that number is made up of body fat and skeletal muscle, like literally how heavy are your bones? And it's about 2 to 4 pounds is your bones. So for many of us, we step on the scale and we want that number to change. But have you ever really considered how we actually lose body fat? And as I said, you know, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes about what, you know, how that the scale number changes, but how do we lose fat? And there is a study from New South Wales University in Australia, down under. They talk about our fat loss actually is we breathe out our fat loss. And so what happens is body fat is converted into energy, which is called a triglyceride. And that comes out of our carbs and our protein. So, you know, our body's like, hey, we need energy. So it goes out and it takes a carb and it takes a protein. It turns it into a triglyceride. Triglyceride, that is metabolically active. And so then what happens is we use that for energy, and then any excess we breathe out. So that's primarily how we lose fat, is that we breathe it out. You know, I know that there's plenty of memes out there that says, you know, sweating is fat crying from your body or something like that. If I didn't say it right, do me a favor, hit me up and let me know what the right way is. But that's how we actually burn fat. So I know many of us think that, you know, if I'm on the cardio for X number of minutes, if I burn X number of calories, then, you know, I'm burning fat, blah, blah, blah. There, in theory, there's not a one-for-one ratio. I wish there were, because I would literally be on the Stairmaster until I burned off all of my excess fat in my body. But that I typically breathe out the fat based on my activity level. And more isn't better. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just giving you kind of the context of how fat is actually burned. So what happens when the scale actually goes up? So here are 10 reasons why when you step on the scale goes up. So number one is that you may have ate later than normal. And I know for me, Monday and Tuesday are my late nights. I don't go home typically until about 9 o'clock. So I'm eating dinner later than I normally do, about 2 hours later than I would normally eat dinner. So because I'm eating later, it's 2 hours less that my body has to cycle if I were to get up and weigh myself at the same time. And so that's what you see. So like, it turns out that timing does play a crucial role in how your body processes food, right? I might be holding on to more water. I might be holding on to more food weight simply because I ate later than I normally do. Second reason is that I may have upped my protein, right? Protein, holy grail of muscle building. But increasing your protein can lead to a temporary weight increase. And so your body might be holding on to more water so that it can help digest and metabolize all the extra protein that you are consuming. More fibrous foods. You know, I highly recommend all my perimenopausal ladies to have more fibrous foods. One, it helps to pull out the excess hormones, excess toxins out of our body, makes us feel fuller longer. You know, same with protein. Protein and fiber, like, you can't go wrong with that combination. But fiber holds on to water, right? So that could temporarily boost the scale up. More carbs, right? Maybe you had a more carb-rich day. And carbs, as I know, many of you fear carbs, and that's why, probably why you fear carbs, but carbs, they chase water. So if you are having carbs, you're probably having, it's going to say anywhere from like 3 to 4 grams of water for every carb that you ingest. And I know for many people that can be a little scary for some people. But it's a temporary thing. And when you kind of know these things, it's easy for you to just kind of like start to, like I said, you know, we have emotion over here and we have logic over here. So, you know, the more I kind of start to get into my logic, the more my logic can say, girl, you know, we had a lot of carbs yesterday. It was a light day and we lifted heavy. So, you know, we're good. We're safe. Hydration. You know, your body's primarily made up of water, but if I don't have enough water, my body might be holding on to that water so that I can survive. But then maybe I overhydrate it. So now I've like tipped the scale in the other way, where I physically have water in my body, right? And, you know, maybe some, you know, there's some days that like you might have like, you feel that water in your body that you're feeling very hydrated. And there's some days that like you're feeling like, you know, I didn't really have enough water yesterday or in the last couple of days. Excuse me. So your body's just trying to hold on to as much water as it possibly can, which leads into salt. You know, I don't know where this came from, but you know, a lot of people will avoid salt, and there's a, you know, I feel like salt is one of those like seesaws. Yeah, a seesaw, right? There is this like balance where there's like just enough salt. We need salt. Salt is what is our natural electrolyte, right? So we want to hold, like help our water hang in there and not just pee it out. But at the same time, you know, there's, when I have too much salt, it is like a water magnet. And so that's why you'll see sometimes if you have a very sodium-rich meal, you know, maybe you had a bunch of salty snacks, maybe you had some, you know, takeout or, you know, ate out, which is notoriously high in sodium, that where you might see that temporary spike in your food. Maybe you've started HRT. And here's the thing about HRT. HRT is not for weight loss. And I know that some of you think that, wait, it's not for weight loss. HRT is primarily to manage the symptoms of menopause / perimenopause. It's also a good preventative for, you know, advanced brain health, heart health, bone health. So there's all these upsides to it, but HRT may cause weight gain, water weight, for you to hold on to water, and it's temporary. Excuse me, as your body starts to adjust to the new hormone level. So, you know, as you are working with your practitioner on HRT, I just don't want you to freak out and just be like, oh, I got to put on 4 pounds. I got to stop this, right? Just look at what the upside is. And it is HRT is a long game. And, you know, I think I've shared this, but I'll share it now. I'm on HRT. And honestly, I've been HRT for 4 years. And I've been on like 3 or 4 different protocols just because it took a bunch of frogs, kissing a bunch of frogs to get me to where I am right now. Booze, right? If I am drinking booze, that scale is going to go up. Although alcohol, yes, is a diuretic, it could be that, you know, I step on the scale, I have booze on Monday, and I step on the scale and I look, and it's like, because it's diuretic, it's pulling the water out of me. Great. But then I get on the scale on Wednesday and my weight has gone up. And I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? So that is, you know, what you're seeing when you step on the scale with booze. It also disrupts your hormones. So the weight loss can fluctuate, and it's nothing to do with that you've gained fat overnight. It just is that, you know, like I said, it pulls the water out. And then when you start to eat like normal within 24 to 48 hours, you will see, you might see that scale rebound back up. Hard training session, right? You know, how many times have you kind of like gone to the gym and you've just like crushed it? And now the scale has gone up because we have inflammation in our bodies, that it's in, not in an inflammation that like it won't go away. It's just like your body is like, hey, that was a hard session. We got to send some white blood cells to, you know, the areas that you worked out hard to just help, you know, help them repair. And the thing about muscle building is that I want you to think about, like, I want you to interlace your fingers together. So if I interlace my fingers together, like you, now we see all the my fingers are stacked. That's a muscle, right? So that's muscle. Your muscle are made of fibers, and those fibers are stacked together. And so as I lift, if I lift heavy, you know, over time, I'm going to create, like, rip these muscles apart. And then as I rip these muscles apart and I eat well, I eat protein, I get rest, I'm not stressed, these new muscle will fill into the holes. And so that's how, you know, I rip the muscle apart, new muscle fills into the hole, and so on and so forth. And that's how I get bigger muscles, get stronger muscles by doing that. And so while I'm doing that, that's how, you know, I'm growing the muscle. That's why I have the inflammation to help heal and repair the muscle. So you might see the scale go up just a touch, right? But it is an okay thing. Maybe you have your period, right? If you have your period, you can go up, you know, 1 to 2 pounds, 1 to 2 pounds based on maybe you're ovulating, maybe you physically have your period, or maybe you're on your way to getting your period. But that, again, you know, is a temporary thing. And travel, you know, I travel, and I'll tell you that, you know, when I fly, I purposely try to drink a lot of water because I know it dehydrates me. And I know that when I travel, I am not regular. I don't poop regularly. And so that all of that can lead to weight gain. Also, because, you know, depending on if you're changing time zones, it could disrupt your sleep. Your eating patterns are not, you know, on track, especially if you're going on a longer journey, or, you know, flight delays and so forth. So that can have a change to your schedule. So, you know, I'm hoping that none of these were a surprise. My goal is that as you're listening to this, you're like, you know what, you know what, Kim, you're absolutely right. Like, I have been like freaking out about the scale, and this is, you know, all of this, there has an answer. And, you know, maybe you put it on a post-it note, you write down these, you know, 10 things, you put it on a post-it note and you put it in your bathroom, and you're like, okay, this is why the scale went up. And you could be more of like CSI, you know, I always use CSI as my example, like, so that I've become more strategic versus an alarmist. Like, oh my God, the scale went up 3 pounds. Pull everything. So as you're listening to this, I want you to really think about that. And one of the, you know, things that as you do that, it's like, think to yourself, you know, as you play your CSI, but also ask yourself, like, am I chasing a number on the scale that I haven't seen in like decades, right? If I'm trying to get down to what I weighed in high school, do you know how much I weighed in high school? In high school, I weighed 108 pounds. There is no way on God's green earth, unless I lose some type of appendage, will I get down to 108 pounds. I literally look like olive oil, and a good wind would blow me down. So I'm never going to get back to 108 pounds. And nor do I want to ever try to get down that way, down that low. But in my mind, I'm like, you know what? I probably have a good, let's say I put on about 30 pounds when menopause came. I've gotten it down to about 15 pounds and I have like the last 15 that I'm working on. Now, if I just could recomposition my body and not lose those last 15 pounds, I would be good. And when I say recomposition my body, it's more about, for me, it's about body composition than what that damn scale says, right? And so over the last few weeks, I've been using the scale more as a finding out where my maintenance is. And how I've been using the scale is a way to determine if what I'm eating is keeping me even with my weight. And so if I am, you know, staying within 1 to 2 pounds, great. I am even. What I'm fueling my body and the energy I'm putting out of my body is at a nice equilibrium. That's what I've been working for the last few weeks. So that when I do, so then I can understand how many calories it takes for me to get that to that tipping point. And then I could go from there into what am I calling in my deficit. So that there's some logic, there's some numbers versus having this, you know, out guilty, you know, I would randomly give you a number, not randomly, but I would give you a number and then we would play with that number. Here, I'm saying eat what you normally eat. Let's look at the data for about 2 to 4 weeks and let's see where your calories fall. And if I'm not hungry, I got good energy, I'm not craving, that's our maintenance number. And then from there, we could talk about what does a caloric deficit look like for you. So I'm hoping that this, you know, kind of gives you some guide rails as to what the scale actually means. That when your scale goes up, it's not freak out. It's not, you know, push the panic button. It's like, okay, step back. What happened last night? Oh, you know what? I had a glass of wine last night, or I went out for margaritas and chips with the girls. Great. Scale went up and it's cool. Did the scale. And then as I'm kind of starting to track this, I'm like, oh, I was traveling, scale went up 2 pounds. You know, it's when we start to see consistent, like 2, 5, 10, that's when you start to get a little like, like something's going on. And then my goal is that you start to become more strategic about what's happening, like kind of dissect what your activities have been versus this dramatic, like I'm a slash and burn the forest, because the slash and burn approach never works, never works. It can work for a shorter period of time. And then at some point your slash and burn bites you in the ass hard. So here's where we kind of start to say to ourselves, I want to start to really focus in on pure data and less on the drama. So instead of obsessing about the number on the scale, start to see, how do my clothes feel? How's my hunger levels? How's my energy levels? How's my cravings? How am I eating? Am I eating great? Am I been eating okay? You know, can I improve, like, you know, my protein? Have I been just, you know, having big weekends, right? So that I start to ask myself better questions versus pushing the panic button. All right, Magic Makers, please let me know how this is landing with you. If this makes sense, hit me up in the socials. If there's someone you know that needs to hear this message, do me a favor, share it out. Don't be selfish with this. Don't gatekeep that shit. Share it with your friends, family, even someone you don't even like. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.